Blog Talk Radio.
For those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message, well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory. Woo! You better put them hands together and act like you know up in here. Cheap things. Church up in here. Come on.
All my people say, all my folks say,
ain't over. It ain't over.
Hezekiah Nim.
Head down as I punch this clock. The hours roll, they never stop. And I can't ever seem to get ahead. Always trying to do what's right. Straight and arrows getting tight. Don't know how much longer I can stand. And I'm wondering, yeah, I'm wondering, where's my promised land? Out here on this desert road, it's hot as fire, but I've grown cold. Circling like a plane that never lands. Even though the questions change, the answers always stay the same. Maybe someday I will understand. So I'm wondering, got me wondering, where's my promised land? Yeah, I'm wondering, still I'm wondering, where's my promised land? I've run this earth for many years. If there's one thing I know, there's nowhere on this side of heaven where streets are made to go. I've long laid down my grand illusions, looking toward the day that I'll be home. I won't give up on this race. Broken, but I still have faith that this old life is all part of a plan. And I can feel it in my soul. One day I'll stand before the throne with nothing left but hope in these two hands. Through all these seasons, I'm still believing you're my promised land.
Welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we do it more than we talk about it. Good evening. I'm Carmen, and I'll be your host for tonight. Today is July 16th, 2022. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. We pray that we take authority over anything that will try to distract and bring confusion, and we bind everything in the name of Jesus that is not of you. We ask you, Father God, that you bless the hearers tonight, that you change lives, that they will never be the same, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good evening. I pray that you had a wonderful week, a blessed week. And if you didn't, like I always say, you've come to the right place where you can get yourself back on track. And if you had a great week, well, we continue to pray for you and to seek on your behalf so that you can continue to move further in God's purpose and plans for your life. Amen. All right. Well, tonight, the word has been resounding in my spirit is the promised land. And I spoke a little bit about that last week, and I played that first song, Stomp, because that was what I had been ministering about last week, about stomping on the head of the enemy. Jael did with the ten peg with Sisera, the general, and how Esther did with her enemy also, that she invited him in and then she took him down. So we need to stomp on the enemy, and that's what God is calling us to do. So I'm giving you another perspective of God's promised land, and we want to welcome you tonight, and let's get with it. We all know that we want our promised land. We know that there's giants that need to be removed from those giant lands. And you know, God has already told you your promises, the promises that are in his word for you. He's already given you the promise of those promised lands. And many have sung about it, sung about promised land, like Elvis Presley sang about it. But this is not the promised land of fame and fortune that God is talking about. And Willie Nelson is another one that talked about the promised land. And he's referring in one of the songs that he sang about the promised land about refugees coming into the land of promise for a better future. And he wrote that song many, many years ago. And little did he know that we were going to be having that here in our country again. And many are coming and flooding into our country because this is their promised land. They want a better life for their family, a better life for themselves. And so many people have different reasons why they have a promise for a promised land, for what they're wanting in life, and they're praying to God for. So today, like I have said, many are flooding our borders looking for their promised land. Others are trying to go up in their careers, wanting to give their family a better life. Everybody's looking for something. Everybody's looking for their promised land. The Bible shows us that God's people were stuck in Egypt as slaves, and they were waiting. They were waiting for a deliverer to set them free. And then once they got into the wilderness, they started seeking for their promised land. And so that was their promise. That was their desire, what they wanted God to do for them. There is one thing God wants us to understand about the promised land. And I'll take you into Numbers 13. And I think I've mentioned this before, but I don't know. God has had me on this message to allow people to understand how to obtain their promised land and how it is that it really works in God's way, not the way the world thinks it's supposed to be done. So in Numbers 13, 25 through 31, it says, "In the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them and they told him," this was written wrong, "and we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. and this its fruit. They were showing the fruit. However, the people who dwelled in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and Amalekites dwelt in the land of Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill city, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overtake it." Then the men who had gone up with him said, I'm sorry, I have this in tiny letters. I shouldn't have put it in tiny letters. "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land, and they had spied on, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim, and we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them." That's what they're saying. So they're seeing themselves as grasshoppers in before these people. So there's four points here that I want you to see. What they saw, from the 12 men that were sent out, 10 came back with this report on what they saw. They said that they were strong people, that the people in that land were strong, that those strong people had giants in their army, that they were tall and from Nephilim. Nephilims are from the giants. They had big, thick walls in their city, so they were fortified strongly. And then they said that the land ate people up. They said that they were like grasshoppers in their sight. So in other words, they found themselves little. And so these were they talking faith or were they talking fear? Sounds like they were talking fear to me. But instead, Caleb and Joshua, they were seeing fruit in the land. And they were seeing that the land was full of milk and honey. So they were seeing all these good things, right? So let's go to Hebrews 3:19. It says, "And now know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but it is believed it was no, that wasn't it. So we now see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. This is what I want you to see and look at, that what they didn't get them into the promised land was their unbelief. The book of Hebrews, they believe that it was Paul that wrote it, but they're not sure. Nobody knows for sure who wrote the book. But what they're stating here in the New Testament is that those that were that had left Egypt and were ready to head for the promised land didn't enter because of their unbelief. So God wants you to understand that he has a promised land for you and for your family and for those, your friends. And he wants you to understand that not every battle is yours, right? Except those things that God has for you. And sometimes God pushes you into certain battles that you don't want to go into, right? And sometimes it feels uncomfortable, but you're in them. And regardless, God pushes you in there because he wants to show you. He wants to show you something, and I'll bring that at the end. There are some things that God has not ordained for you, right? So when God says, "This is for you," then you go in and you take it. But there are other battles that God did not tell you to go into. And some people at times go in the flesh and they want to obtain things that God has not told them that was theirs. It's not for them to take. So God gives, and when God gives, he gives without sorrow. When it's truly God giving you something and providing you that land, that promised land, He gives it to you without sorrow. That could be a house, a home, a career, a baby, a husband, a wife, whatever the case may be. Okay, and so that's considered your land. So God did not bring you into his kingdom for you to be stagnant. Because if he brought you into his kingdom, he has plans for you. And he doesn't want you to be fearful or frustrated or depressed without hope, stuck without a direction in life. He saves you for his plan. He has a purpose for your life. Now, what is keeping us from our promised land? What I mentioned before, it's unbelief. Okay, now that some people may say, no, it's not unbelief. It's because, and they start blaming somebody else. They might blame somebody at work. And remember last week what I was saying, you know, that thing that was not, that rejection that you had from within is what pulls other things around you to reject you too. And it was, and if, and you got to go back to that message, because that was a good message, and that'll keep you strong for weeks to come. But what God wants you to see is that it's not blaming other people that you didn't get, because you didn't get the promotion, or the illness because of you, the doctor didn't know what you how to help you, or the difficult situation, or the lawsuit that you may have. Or the people, any people that you're dealing with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the list goes on. The more you look at these things, the more hopeless and bigger your situation starts looking. So are you telling God that you can't, that he can't get your promised land to you? Or is it really because you're not believing God? You can believe, you can blame everything else that you want. Believing God, that will get you the promised land. So the things that you see that are not letting you get into your promised land, get your eyes off of that. It's plain and simple. It's God. One example of that, I remember hearing a testimony of a lady named Jody Osteen. And this was John Osteen's wife, and she had gotten really sick. And so she started declaring and decreeing on her health and started standing strong and believing God and trusting that God was saying what he was saying, and she was miraculously healed. Well, not long ago, she was testifying how God has set her free again. She had fallen, and her health and her hip got hurt. And so, again, this giant came back again, but in a different way, to try to steal from her. And so she stood on that. And so she came back encouraging others that it's standing on God's word, believing and trusting God that she got her health back. So this is the same way. So for some people, it may be health. For other people, it may be financial. For other people, it may be a job. For another person, it may be a spouse that they are desiring for, or a baby that they've desired for so many years. So the way we stomp on the enemy's head and we do battle is by trusting God and knowing that he is the one that fights our battles. You might have soldiers. Have you seen the soldiers that they go into battle and they come back with war wounds? But they come back as winners, right? They come back victorious. Yeah, they have battle wounds, but they won because they believed that they could. And how many stories of God's hands on these men and women serving in the military in wars they saw God's protection. So not only did they win the battle and the promise of what they needed to go and do, they also came back with stories. So I want you to start realizing that when you don't believe God, you're also not allowing your loved ones, your children, also to receive the promises of God. Because if you don't believe for them, how do you expect God to move on their behalf? Sometimes our obedience blesses and continues from generation to generation to generation. So the curse goes from generations to generations to generation, but the blessings go on further. So what I'm trying to get you is to understand that your lack of belief can also mean that you're not standing for your family members, for the prodigals in your lives. And so one thing can affect everything. And so I'm letting you know that if you don't have it in you, ask the Lord to give you the faith to believe in him, and he'll give it to you, because everything that we have comes from him. Stop believing for your children and your grandchildren's salvation. You stop believing for yourself, your loved ones, their healing, people's marriages, your own marriages, promotions for jobs, for pay, for a better apartment, maybe. Maybe that's what you're looking for the promised land, for a bigger house because your house is too small, for new transportation because you don't have a car, for your ministry. Maybe it's that you need a place of ministry, or your ministry needs a bigger place to stretch out its tent. Amen? To have more land to stretch out its tent. So God wants you to believe tonight. And here we have believers, intercessors, people that believe. But we want you to learn to believe also. We want you to trust the Lord, to trust him. And so that's why I played that song. But if you notice that in that song, the young man says, you're my promised land. You're my promised land. And so people may say, well, okay, what does that mean? Well, remember when in the Matthew 6:33, where we declare the word of God, this says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, it's in seeking God first and his righteousness, the way that he does things, not the way that we do them. Then all these other things will be added on. All these promised lands, if you will be added when you believe in his kingdom, his righteousness, and do what he says. Then you'll get the promise, because you believe in his word. It's in him. So the world may believe in a promised land, but what they forget is that believing for your promised land begins with God. It doesn't begin with all these achievements and all these things. That's not your promised land. That's the flesh obtaining the promises, the land, which will not last. Because like I said before, when God gives you, he gives it to you without sorrow. But when you obtain things through the flesh, they're not lasting. And wouldn't it be so much better to do and glorify God and believe him? Because there will be one day that we're going to present ourselves before the Lord. And like in Revelation, somewhere in Revelation, it talks about the 24 elders, where they lay their crowns before the feet of the Lord. It's all the victories that they've had. And so what victories are you going to give the Lord if you don't believe in what he says, and you don't stand in his righteousness, and you don't seek him? What will you present to the Lord? You won't be able to present him anything. Because I'm sure that if the 24 elders had crowns to lay before the Lord, I'm sure we're going to present him crowns too. Amen? So think about that. Do you want to go empty-handed and not give the Lord anything? Or do you want to be like some of the people that they say, oh, that one got into heaven by the skin of his teeth? I don't want to get in by the skin of my teeth. I want to be able to bring him glory. I want to be able to stand before him and lay a crown of beautiful jewels before. What he gave me, I give it to him, because that shows that God is being glorified, that God was glorified in your life. Amen. I have an example of something that happened this week of a friend. And some vicious attack came to this person from the place that he worked. But he was sensing something. He was sensing like God was pulling him to pray. Well, he must have gotten sick of me telling, you know, well, you know, we need to pray more in tongues. We need to pray more in tongues. And that's exactly what he did. He pulled away and started to pray, and he started to pray in tongues. He didn't know exactly what to pray about, so he just went with it. So he remembered me telling him to pray in tongues, and he started feeling like he was warring, like he was, there was a battle going on, and he didn't know. And so finally, when he finished praying, he went and continued working and went to his computer and looked at the email. And sure enough, there was that ugly, vicious email was there. And then he realized, oh, that's why God had me praying. So he had to respond to the email. And God gave him divine words, correct words, words that did not retaliate, but were very professional. And this person realized that it was God that was helping him, because he sought God. When God was pulling him, he sought God in that situation and started praying in tongues. And when he faced that email, he was able to address the email in God's power. So there was a meeting that took place and things went well. And the victory is his. You know, the victory isn't really about the job. The victory is about his obedience and doing what God is telling him to do. And because that's where he's going to gain the ground, the land, you see? But just like I told you that Jody Osteen had victory in her health, didn't mean that first time that she had victory that she had to stop from that point on. She had to continue getting victory in her life even later on. You know, the enemy doesn't stop. He doesn't care. He'll come back. He'll wait for an opportune time. Thinks you're the weakest. And so she gained ground in her health by trusting and believing God. And she does it until the end. And no matter what, we are to do the same. Now, you're going to move and believe and get your promised land, okay, gain that ground, or are you going to stay stuck? Ask yourself, are you going to stay stuck? You know, I started thinking the other day about, I started thinking about that movie Karate Kid, and I thought about the word, you know, when I read about the grasshopper. How the master, the man that told the young man that was his teacher, his martial art teacher, that he was, he would call him a grasshopper. And the meaning of grasshopper when the teacher was telling him this was that he was saying that he was young, that he was very small. You know, in other words, he had a lot to learn. So are you a grasshopper or are you a giant killer? It's up to you. How do you see yourself? And if you see yourself as a grasshopper, that means you don't know your identity in God and you need some work. And that's okay. You're going to get in the Word. You're going to start reading the Word, and then you're going to allow God to show you who you are. Are you looking at your family as grasshoppers too? Or how God sees them? You know, I know this one lady pastor that she would say so many ugly things about her children. And you know what? And they failed. They failed. They struggled. They struggled in their marriage. They struggled in so many other areas. And she was taken by an evangelist And in the spirit, God scolded this woman for speaking things over her family. And I heard about it, and I was like, oh, my goodness. So it's not only her. It's many people. We speak about our prodigals like if they're grasshoppers. Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. So are we going to move in the land for our family, for our friends? Are we going to move, or are we just going to give up? Are you going to give up on them? No. So soldiers may feel a little afraid when they go into a battle, but they go with courage. And courage means the ability to do something that frightens one. Just the soldier sometimes, but the soldier still moves regardless of how he feels. God told Joshua to take courage. In Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We all have those times when we feel discouraged, going through suffering, anxiety, sorrows, pains, but God is telling you, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Go. Believe in me. Believe in me. Because he's the one that's going to fight your battle. It's time. It's time to believe. It's time to for those prodigals to come in. It's time for that better job. It's time for that healing. It's for your the healing of your loved ones. It's time. It's time. Or will you be like the grasshopper that says, I can't, I'm not smart enough, or he left me, or she left me, or they're treating me mean, or I got fired, or I can't fix it, or I can't believe for that. You fill in the blanks. Look what Joshua said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And serving the Lord means that you're believing in him, that you trust in him, that you're following his righteousness, and all these other things will be added on. So I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm believing for many things. I'm already seeing some things happen. They're already in my hands. There's others that are on their way to me. Amen. But you still have to fight it till the end. Don't settle. And don't stay outside of the promised land. Because if you stay outside of the promised land, you'll die there. People, this is how we do our battles. He is our promised land. What happens in your spiritual life happens in your physical life. Now it's time to gain ground in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. So I'm going to be taking some calls tonight. Let's start with 910-709, your name and where you're from.
Hi, Carmen. This is Sylvia from North Carolina.
Hey, Miss Sylvia. I'll put you on mute. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Sylvia. And that's one of our intercessors. We have many intercessors on PGN. We love our intercessors. Lord, bless Miss Sylvia, Lord, and use her mightily, Father God, in intercession. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name, for what you do in her prayer time, Father God. Increase more, Father God. Give her victory in that prayer time, Father God. Give her the victory. Thank you, Lord. And that's what I see you as, victorious, Miss Sylvia. I see you with your hand up, like you know, when somebody wins a game or something, they're like, yay, yay, you know, with their fist up in the air, just shaking it, yay. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Sylvia, Father God, for the victories you give her, Father God, because she does believe. We thank you, Lord. Yes, I see you victorious in Jesus' name. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Miss Sylvia, are you there?
Amen. Yes.
Hey, Victoria, yes. Warrior. What's going on?
nothing too much. I'm just just waiting for, God had told me to, led me to go to school, but that was just a battle trying to get all the paperwork in, and it seemed like every way I turned, it was like an opposition, and finally I've gotten to the end with all the paperwork, so I'm just sitting waiting for God to do what he's going to do now.
That was victory.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. All right.
Yes, because it I've been to college before and I have a degree, but when he says to go to divinity school, it was like, I felt like it was a spirit behind it. It was like, every which way I turned, it was like I had to call them to get them to do something when I thought that they were supposed to be, you know, admitting me. And I'm like, God, I'm like, what is this? But finally, I got
you know
down
what I
to,
just heard the Lord say? That this, you pushing through this, this is also helping your family push through. You don't know it.
You may
see it, may not see it, but it's helping your family too. Father,
amen.
God, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
That's why I was preaching this. Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Glory be to God. Thank you,
go
Jesus.
Go on. This is juicy.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I love it.
Thank you, Father.
You keep pressing
yes.
in no matter what.
Oh,
wow.
Yes. I'm going to make she's going to be tired of me. I'm going to call her Monday also.
You keep pressing
through. Wow.
God's going to help you. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
That's why you're having, you know, but God says victorious. So, wow.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. My spirit's leaping from joy. Wow. So divinity school.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wow.
I remember one day I was sitting in the parking lot at church, and it's this older lady, she's made older than I am, and he told me, Holy Spirit said, look at her, because she's in, you know, she's in school, said, if she can do it, you can do it, and then like, I was like, oh my God, so I had to go, you know, and try. I got it. I got all the paperwork in, I'm just waiting. But when he said that, then I knew for sure that he wanted me to go. So one day I said, Lord, I said, if you want me to go, I don't have a laptop. And 2 days later, someone knocked on the door and told me, here's a laptop. Then a week later, someone gave me a printer.
Wow.
So he really means for me to go. Yes, he really, and I'm feeling excited about it.
Wow. Oh, my goodness, Miss Sylvia. I'm so happy for you. This is your promised land. God's giving it. He's pushing you into it. He's pushing
yes,
you into this
yes.
battle. You're going to get through because you got the victory. He's giving you that.
Amen.
He's already said it. You're victorious. I mean, not that they won't be, you know, the battles. You're going to have to go through them, but you're going to be, you know, it's yours. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Thank you,
I'm proud of you.
Yes.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I want to laugh. Oh, I feel like it's happening to me. I'm so happy for you. Wow.
Thank you.
I'm so happy
Thank
for you.
You.
Wow. Well, you do well and make us even more prouder and let us know, you know, how we can continue helping you to pray and lifting you up. And so, Father God, we just thank you for Miss Sylvia. Lord, give her more victories. Father God, help her to bring those giants down in her life. And Father God, you have put her in this. There is a reason for it. It's for not only for her, but for her family, Father God. And we just thank you, Father God, for the victory that you're giving her. Give her the strength and the courage, Father God, to move forward always at every level, Lord, because sometimes it gets right before the course is ready to hump over, it's it's a little hard, but Lord, we just thank you because we have our strength in you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Amen.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like prayer for?
No, that's it. Thank you. And God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. All right. That was Miss Sylvia. God bless. That was Miss Sylvia. Wow. Wow. Amazing. All right. 903-918, your name and where you're from.
This is Michelle from Texas.
Oh, okay. Hi, Miss Michelle. I'm going to put you on mute. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Michelle, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, for the persistence, that she does not give up. She's persistent in the Lord. I see that the Lord is making you more persistent and that you're awakening to certain things that you didn't know before. And because of it, that's awakened some things in you. And I see that persistence coming in from you. And it's all the Lord. It's all the Lord's doing. And I thank you, Father God, for that persistence in Michelle. And I pray that you bless her, Father God, that she will be able to move forward in her promised land, Lord. Help her, Father God, not to be discouraged or dismayed, but that she will move forward in your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Miss Michelle, are you there? Oh, wait a minute. That's not it. Hold on. All right. Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how are you? God bless you.
God bless you, too. How are you?
Good, good. Blessed. How's your week?
It's been pretty good. I can't complain.
Praise the Lord. Is there anything that you want to say, testimony or prayer?
I need prayer from my finances.
Okay. All right. Your finances. And Lord, we just lift her up to you, Father God, with her finances. You heard what she said, Father. We ask you, Father God, that you give her wisdom to know what she needs to do with her finances. We pray, Father God, that as she is obedient to you, that you will come through. In Jesus' name, amen. Miss Michelle, in your finances, are you set on a fixed income or how's that going?
Yes.
Okay.
But,
from your fixed income, are you giving from your tithes?
Yes.
Okay. So you're testing the Lord. You're giving. You're doing what you're supposed to. Giving the tithes. Being obedient to what God says. And so just praise Him. Just praise Him that He'll make a way where it doesn't seem possible. And so that's where I see that you are persistent. You're persistent in prayer. Like the widow that was persistent and asking and asking and asking, that's what the Lord was when I first started praying for you. So it's persistent. So continue to be in prayer, persisting in prayer, and you'll see that the Lord, you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you'll see the Lord come through. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I will see that. I pay my tithes. And I give offerings when he tell me, you know, he'll tell me to sow this amount or whatever, and I do it. But,
I like that. Not a lot of people understand that it's what the Lord tells you, not what you feel like doing. Sometimes he'll say, you know, you can give a love gift, but when God tells you to do it, it's so much better because it's obeying what he's saying. And so many people give and they don't realize that we need to wait on God for everything we do. I like that. because not a lot of people understand that. You definitely have understood how to walk in God's righteousness. Amen?
Amen. And like you said,
well,
waiting for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the waiting for it. But I'm going to continue to be consistent in it.
Yes, that's the persistence
Amen.
That he was talking
mm-hmm.
about. Continue. Being persistent like the widow that came to the unjust judge. But God is not
mm-hmm.
unjust. He's a good God. And so you continue pressing in and letting him know and worshiping him and thanking him for what he's already done and what he's going to do. Continue. Stay persistent in prayer. And amen. So that's what I was getting.
Amen.
Wow. Amen. Amen. So it's going to come. It's going to come. Amen.
Amen.
Anything else you'd like to express? Yeah.
Oh, that was it.
Yes. A lot of people have taken many years to learn what you just said. You know, that you listen to what God tells you to do, and then you do it. You step out in faith what you hear. Amen. And a lot of people don't understand that. It takes them years to understand that. So it may not seem like nothing to you, but it is something big, because that's walking in his obedience. Amen?
Amen.
Anything else?
Amen, yeah. I learned that early on. You know, when I first got saved,
wow.
You have to be persistent in your giving, and then you got to hear God say, because you can't do it off of your how you feel. You know what I mean? Well, I feel like I'll get this person, or I feel. No, you got to be led by God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Exactly. Wow, that's good. That's good. People are listening. I hope people are listening, because some people, I gave this because, you know, I felt like giving. You know, it's not what you feel. It's what God leads. And so that's truly walking in obedience. Amen. Anything else,
Amen.
Sister Michelle?
No, that's it. Praise God.
Well, God bless you. It's always a pleasure hearing from you.
It's always a pleasure talking to you.
How's that walking going? Are you still drinking water and walking?
I'm still drinking water, but it's so hot. Till I was trying to get up at 6, and it's hot at 6.
Yes,
I'm
it is.
I'm gonna have to try
mm-hmm.
to do it at 5, but it's so dark out, you know. And I was like, I'm
mm-hmm.
gonna have to like maybe go to the mall and walk
mm-hmm.
around in the mall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it's
I'll
a lot
tell
cool.
you, it's
well,
really,
even there it's hot.
Yeah, and it made a big difference, because I could tell,
yeah.
like, if I walk, like, in the grocery store or wherever, my calves
mm-hmm.
used to hurt so bad. But now, they barely even hurt. I feel so much better. And
yes,
I thank
don't
you,
stop,
Mom.
So.
Thank you. Yeah, I can't stop. I know I can't. I have to continue
yeah.
on to what, everything that he told me, you know, to do. So
amen,
I just thank him
amen.
For it. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. Well, it's good to hear that. I'm glad you're taking care of your body, and that you're doing what God is. The blessings are coming. Just stay persistent, and they're coming. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe
you'll probably get one of the blessings like Sister Sylvia with the printer and the computer, but whatever it is
Amen.
That you need, of course. Amen.
Yes.
All right.
Amen.
Sister Michelle, if there's nothing else, I'll go on to the next caller. You have a blessed
okay.
week,
you
okay?
Be, you too.
All right. God bless you.
Good night.
So, that was Sister Michelle. All right. Next caller is 828-989. Your name and where you're from.
Hi, this is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Oh, I thought so. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi.
All right, give me a moment.
Sorry,
I'll put you on mute and I'll come back. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, Okay. Thank you, Lord, for Jennifer, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just give you praise and glory. Thank you, Lord. There is something that the Lord is having you to do, and he says, come, come, come. That's what the words that I saw, come, come. He has something for you to do, and he says, come. And you know what it is. He's calling you to do something. And it sounds like something to minister to others. It could be, I'm not sure what it is, but it's to minister to someone else. And the Lord says, come, 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 come. I see the words come. So the Lord wants you to go and do what it is that he's calling you to do. Amen. And you know what it is. And Lord, I just pray that you give her the courage to do it. I pray that you would show her that it is truly you. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do through her. Bless her mightily through that, the blessing of blessing others in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come. Jennifer.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, oh, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. Come. And he's spoken that word before, come, but I'm not sure what he's, I mean, I know I feel like I have a call in my life, but in this season, in this time, I'm not sure what he's calling me to do other than come.
Are you active in church in something?
No, I'm not.
No? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe there is a need there, and he's laid it on your heart before, and he's saying, come. So I'm not sure what it is that he's – do you work with children maybe?
No.
Or have you worked with them before?
Okay.
I mean, because ministry doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do it at church. It could be helping some neighbor, ministering to someone, being a servant to someone in many forms, you know, like when you minister and pray for somebody else, they could be ministers or maybe praying for a minister or a neighbor or taking care of a child and ministering to them. It comes in different ways. Yes, there are fivefold ministries, but God calls us in different ways, not only as ministers, you know, in a church. That's one way, but there's so many other ways that people sometimes they don't realize they're doing it, but they don't even realize that they're already doing it. And that God is using them because he uses us to touch other people's lives. And I just think, go ahead.
He has, like, lately called me out to lay my hands on people. And I've had some opportunities over the last couple weeks to do that. So I've been doing that in faith.
Okay. So continue doing that because that's what he's calling you to do. It's awesome. A lot of people don't, you know, you don't hear a lot about people praying over other people anymore like it used to be at one time. Now it's like you can barely get anyone to pray for anybody. And so that's why I love our PGN intercessors. Because they have a love for this and they're obedient to continue praying. And look how God is blessing some of them. Look at Miss Sylvia. Way to go, Miss Sylvia. You know, and God is using her to go to divinity school. And she knew that it was the Lord. And so you see, it doesn't matter at what age God will use you. You just have to say yes. Just say yes. And then he'll take you. And sometimes, you know, I don't know what I remember Jan Crouch. She says she had a testimony and she gave her testimony where she was you know, her husband's helper, and she had little ones at home, and she got into depression. And the Lord said to get out of, you know, go to where he was wanting her to go. And so, but she was so wrapped up in her own depression that she was no good to her husband or to her children. And so it really got to her when her son came to her and he says, "Mommy, is this how you make the beans?" And he had burned the beans. And so that really got to her, that she was so stuck in her depression that she was forgetting those that needed her around her. And when she went to a church service and she was praying, there was this one lady that was depressed. And the Lord said, go to her. He said, go to her. When she prayed for this woman, I mean, her story was really bad. And when she got out of her comfort zone and started ministering to someone that was in a worse situation than her and had worse depression, God set her free while she was serving others. And so whatever it is that we sometimes think we need, when we reach out and are that to others, God sets us free.
Wow.
Amen.
I need healing. I definitely need healing. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I remember hearing that years ago when I was a young woman with my small children that, you know, I was like, oh, wow, you know, and I never forgot that because as a military wife, I was always left alone. And my husband was always, you know, they're always deployed to somewhere. And I was alone always with my children. But when I heard that, I was like, yeah, I have to step out. And I stepped out. And it did. It did work. It did work. I started helping in the church, ministering to other people, and that loneliness, that depression wasn't there anymore. So God will set you free. You know, I don't know what it is that's going on with you, but God says, come.
Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Amen. And you have a lot
Send
to
you.
Give.
I'm sorry?
You have a lot to give.
Yes, yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. So
yes.
What's going on this week?
This week's been... it's
heavy
been,
duty.
Yes. Yes.
Have you been in some battles?
I have been in some battles, and on top of that, you know, my parents are moving, so it's been pretty hectic.
Oh.
It's been going through a lot emotionally and physically. So it's been a rough, you know. God's been doing in me, though.
So you're moving away from parents, and so the stress of leaving them?
No, actually, my parents are moving. My parents are moving.
Oh, they're leaving. Oh.
Well, no, they're moving here with me, so.
Oh, they're leaving? I'm not sure.
No,
are
moving.
They leaving, or they're coming to live with you?
Coming. They're coming to me, yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Wow. It's going to
yes.
be interesting after you had left them as probably a teenager
yes.
or a young woman
yes.
to have them back.
Yes. Yes.
One advice yes. that I give you, be stern and not disrespectful. Parents will always see you as their babies.
Yes.
And sometimes they forget. And they try to treat you like a young teenager. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I deal with that with my 84-year-old father. And he thinks that I'm a teenager and that I don't know any better. And I'm like, I'm an old woman now. I think I know. I understand. So choose your words wisely and be very respectful and
yes.
but stern.
Mm-hmm.
But stern at the same time and pray in the spirit. God will give you the right words to say. And it could be a mm-hmm. blessing if you don't put those boundaries. It
mm-hmm.
could be a blessing, but if you don't, it could be hard.
mm-hmm.
Amen.
Talented.
So, yes. And parents, you know,
yeah.
they forget that we're adults. That we're adults. And I don't care how old you get, they think that way all the time. And so,
mm-hmm.
Respectful. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, so that's
Amen.
Probably who God is saying to minister. That's who, oh, wow. That's who you're going to be ministering to. Oh, I see now. That's what it is. Wow.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So that's one way to minister to them. Remember, they're getting older. And as people get older and they lose their ability to take care of themselves, you're going to see that they get more frustrated, right, at life.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they
yeah.
will take it out on you, and you mm-hmm. still have to be respectful and show them that because their bodies don't work the same way, doesn't mean that their minds don't, and they're still smart, and there's still value in them. Amen. It's a hard season for them, you know, as they get
yeah.
older and older. Yeah. So
mm-hmm.
God will give you the wisdom. Father, in the name of
yeah.
Jesus, Lord, I lift up Jennifer. I pray, Father God, that you increase her wisdom, Father God, as her family come to live with her. Bless her. Help her. And bless her in her finances, in her time, in her words, in the care she gives. Father God, I just pray that you would also help her to remember that she needs to care for herself too. And
mm-hmm.
that she should never always give everything of herself to others, but that she needs time for her and you, Lord. That she spend time
okay.
in a secret place and not allow anyone to take from that time between you and her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Ooh, thank you, Lord.
Oh, that's so true. Thanks.
Yes.
Yes.
Lord. Remember that. Take
thank
care
you.
Of yourself.
That's a hard
because
one.
How can you, if you don't take care of yourself, how are you going to take care of others? And
right.
sometimes you have to say no. I found myself
right.
saying no lately to a lot of people.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You have to learn to say no.
I believe the Lord is teaching me how to.
Learn to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me no. No.
No.
No. No, I will not do that. No, no, no. And after a while,
no.
it feels good. At first,
right.
you're like, oh, you feel guilty. But then you're like, no, that feels good. And I've learned to say no to other people, even people at work. Bosses
right.
that want me to do certain things, I'm like, no. 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 Because I'm not going to get sick for anybody. The more you do, the more they want. And so it's
right.
no. No. Amen?
Yes.
And friends wanted
no.
me to go to
yes.
their church. I went once and I was like, man, I'm tired. I can't do this. I said, no, no. Okay, are you going to come? No, no, no. So I'm no, 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 no. Amen. I know I'm joking,
that.
But, you know,
right.
you
right.
have to laugh about these things.
Yeah.
Amen.
I believe, yeah, he's definitely been teaching me how to make myself a priority. Yes.
Mhm. Because first
mm-hmm.
is you alone with the Lord, and then you have truly something to give when you spend
right.
time with the Lord. And you let him fill you, so that you can fill others. But if you're not filled,
right.
how are you going to fill others?
That's
right. Yeah, Jesus always went away and said that he, they asked him one time, you know, oh, we have food. He says, oh, I have food that you don't know about. He was spending time with his Father. That was the spiritual food he needed. He didn't need nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen.
Spending time
mm-hmm.
with the one you love, Jesus. Amen.
Jesus. Amen. Yes.
Is there
yes.
anything else mm-hmm. you want to share, a testimony or anything you'd like to say?
No, not tonight, but I have a feeling a lot of testimonies will be coming soon. I feel him
Amen.
Moving, you know, Holy Spirit moving.
And do you pray in tongues?
I do.
Amen. Well,
yes.
start praying in tongues. That helps edify you in your inner man, and you're able to feel. It does something. It just refreshes you. Just the other day, I came home so tired. And so I started worshiping and praying in tongues, and I felt like I had just taken a shower. That's how good
mm-hmm.
I felt. So,
refreshing.
You know, praying in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was refreshing. I felt energy. I was like, whew. And then a friend called, and I was like, you need to pray, because I just got through with praying right now and worshiping and praying in tongues, and I feel good.
mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes those days when you're like, oh, I can't give another inch, or you end up going to service, and when you come back out of service, you're like, whoa, I'm glad I did. I am so glad
mm-hmm.
I did, because I was refreshed. Amen?
Yes.
It's not taken
Amen.
Away from you, but putting in you.
Right.
Work, children, relationships, all that can be draining.
Mm-hmm.
But for all that, we need God. Amen.
Yes. Every day,
mm-hmm.
every hour.
Amen.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Anything else, my dear?
No, thank you for just blessing me tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And really just confirming the come. You know, that's not the first time I've heard that. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So that's where you're going to be ministering. that's
mm-hmm.
ministry. Believe it
mm-hmm.
or not, that's ministry. So now you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now you found out where you have to put your energies. This is from the Lord. It's not always being a minister. It's, you know, our family, our children, our loved
mm-hmm.
ones, a neighbor. Amen. All right, Jennifer.
Amen.
Well, I pray you have a blessed week and you come back by and of the Lord.
Well. You as well. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Good night. That was Jennifer from North Carolina. All right. Next caller, 334-590. Your name and where you're from.
Jayla.
Jayla. All right. Where are you from, Jayla?
I'm in New York. I'm from Alabama originally. This is...
Oh, okay. That's right. All right. Let me put you on mute, Jayla. Thank you, Lord, for Jayla, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Jayla from Alabama that lives in New York. Lord, I thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I sense that the Lord is saying that that the opposite, you ever seen Green Acres where the man takes his wife into the country and she has to get acclimatized to the country, but she brings beauty to where she lives, to the barn house that they live in. And whatever she touched, she changed, and she just gives it a touch of her own class. And so God is doing the opposite with you. He's taking you from Alabama to, you know, a different place to where New York is so different. And what God is doing is bringing you into those places where you live, where you work, the people that you're around, and you're going to give of who you are, the beauty of who you are, to their place, and you're going to make it different. And so that's what I was hearing from the Lord, that the opposite was going to be, but it was the same thing. It was bringing the beauty, the specialness of who you are. And you are special. The other day, I was flipping through TikTok, and I saw this mini video of a uterus, of all things, and how the little sperms, you know, it reenacted how little sperms go up into the uterus and then go into to where the egg is. And from all these little sperms, only one gets to go in there. Then once that happens, that egg travels into the fallopian tube, back into the uterus, and gets implanted in there and starts growing. And before you know it, it starts growing into a baby. And so it takes one out of thousands of possibilities of who that individual could have been. And it was you, Jayla. It was you. And you're special. And God is going to use you where you are. There's only one of you. And so the beauty of Jesus in you is going to touch many lives over there in New York. And amen. All right. Let me look for Jayla's number again. All right. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jayla.
Hey. Amen to that. It has been a big difference coming from the
speak
sound.
A little louder because I want to make sure I hear every word you're saying.
Okay. I was saying there's a big difference coming from the South and then coming up here. And I feel like God is really, he's doing a work in me. And I know that he brought me up here for a reason. But it's like I can tell that a lot of things that go, like, for instance, down South, it's like a lot of people are more warm and just nice and things like that. Like, you know, like everybody kind of looks out for one another and things like that. And up here, it's kind of like a rat race in a way where everybody's like looking out for themselves and, you know, just not as friendly and things of that nature. And I feel like I've always dealt with a big thing, like when it comes to like my emotions and things like that, like almost like being spoiled in a way, expecting certain things to go my way and things on that. Along that nature, and like coming up here, I feel like God is really dealing with me with dealing with my emotions and understanding, like, you know, how life continues to go on. Like, you have things to do, and you have to, you know, you have a mission, and you can't let your emotions get to you, and different things like that. And you know, I can also tell that, like, the people that I've been around too, like, I do bring a different type of energy that I don't think that is up here a lot, like just the sense of warmness and, you know, just it's been a big difference, and it has been. yeah, it has been.
Well, I know, because I was born and raised in New York. I'm a New Yorker. And so, I mean, I haven't lived there for a long time, but because I was a military wife, but I understand what your New Yorkers are blunt. They tell you like it is. And for somebody that comes from the South, it's a little rough. And I don't know if you remember that show Green Acres. You ever remember that, the watching an episode of that? No? Well, you need to look for it on YouTube. You're going to laugh. It's this Hungarian woman that marries a man from the city, and they move to the country part. And so the adventures begin, all the weird stuff. But she's so different and so sweet that she touches the lives of all these people. And there's a lot of things she didn't know how to do, but she starts learning. And so it's like the love affair between her and her husband and the people that she meets in the country part. So you will change a lot of people's lives because there's a lot of people that need that sweet touch that you have, the love of Jesus in you, that you're going to touch their lives. And it's only you. It's you. You're special. There's only one Jayla. And so God knows what he's doing, Jayla. Don't doubt yourself and don't doubt your identity in Christ. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to even use who you are, how you are from your customs and all this. All that is going to be bundled up to deliver something to someone over there in New York that needs to hear Jesus from Jayla, from a person like Jayla. Amen?
Amen.
I know it could be lonely, and it's a big city, but once you get out there, and you'll see. And they're going to love who you are because they're going to love the Jesus in you. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Just, I recommend you watch that show and then you're going to understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
You're going to laugh. It's like a sitcom. It's an old sitcom. Yeah. They still give it from time to time. I've seen it a few times. So that's what I sense in my spirit when I heard your name. Is there anything else that you want to pray about, a testimony? What would you like to talk about?
I would say for a prayer for God to confirm some things in my life, just for his guidance and his direction. I know, like, I've shared plenty of times before, like, how I feel like it's like a battle in my mind when it comes to listening to God and just, like, being sure that I'm hearing from him and it's not, like, just me. So just in enhanced confirmation on the things that he wants me to do because I feel like I'm being guided in certain ways, you know, but I just, yeah.
Are you, do you have a home church over there in New York?
I don't.
Okay. What's keeping
you? I've just been doing everything, like, still watching the online sermons, and I haven't, like, found a church home here. It's, like, I can't give you a solid reason why, honestly, but that's, so I don't have a church home here.
Yeah. It's always good to, you know, reach out and check your local area. Also, PGN, we minister to everybody each night. There's a different minister, and usually Prophet Ramdi is on Mondays through Friday, through Thursday, Fridays, and Saturday and Sunday. We have different ministers. I'm one that comes on Saturday. But, but it's good to have that gathering. And that way you can be used to minister to other people, too. And so don't think it's strange if even at work God uses you. Okay? So don't limit yourself. Sometimes I know we're so busy doing work and then we don't really minister to anybody. But even on the subway, even on the bus, you know, you never know who the Lord leads you to minister to. And so, or maybe that person in the grocery store that you see every week, that cashier, or where you buy food, you know, ask the Lord to use you to minister to someone. Amen? Because I just sense that about you. There's who you are is needed there. Amen? Do you know that there was a minister from the country? I don't know what part from the country he was. I think maybe he was from Texas. A man named David Wilkerson. Ever heard of him?
No.
Okay, well, this minister, he died several years ago. And when he was young, the Lord used his country warmth to minister to people in New York. And he started ministering to gangbangers. There was one gangbanger particularly. His name was Nicky Cruz. And this guy spit in his face and called him all kinds of names.
Mm.
And even brought his gang to his church, and they were going to have it out. And so the Lord used this minister to bring this gangbanger to Jesus. And this guy was into all kinds of stuff. He was into witchcraft. He was into, they killed people back in those days, and they got away with it. How? I don't know. Some of them end up in jail. Well, this man became a believer, and now today he is a very old man. This young man that was the gangbanger is an old man now, has ministered all around the world, and is an evangelist that ministered to many lives, especially to those that were in gangs or are in gangs. He's still preaching. And so see what a one country minister did in New York to New Yorkers. Mm-hmm. Amen. So you could see a story. They even created a story about it. It's an old, old movie, and you can catch it in YouTube. It's called The Cross and the Switchblade. And but it's like a musical sort of thing. I don't know if you ever heard of Eric Estrada. The guy from Chips, well, he played Mickey Cruz in that movie.
Mm.
That's how old that movie is. And so this Mickey Cruz is still, if you look him up, he's still ministering to people. He's still going all over the world, and even in his old age. And he gives his testimony on how nobody loved him, how his own mother called him the son of the devil. And so this man had a lot of issues of feeling loved. And so he got deliverance with that pastor, David Wilkerson. And he helped him go to cold turkey on the drugs that he was taking, because he was also a drug addict.
Mm.
So think of that young minister from the country, how God used him. So different from the people in New York. He's going to use you too.
Amen.
Think it not strange.
Amen.
You want? Would you like prayer or anything else you want to say?
No, that's encouraging for me tonight. I appreciate
Amen.
It. Amen.
Go look at that movie. I mean, it's got a lot of musical bit that not a lot of people are used to anymore. But you can see his testimonies. And the man cannot talk. This young man that was in the gangs, he could not talk. And he still doesn't know how to talk correct. He was a young Puerto Rican from Puerto Rico that had gone to New York. And so he got himself into a lot of stuff because of the rejection that he received from his parents, from his mother. They were all into witchcraft. And do you know his mom got born again? He led her to Christ. Mm-hmm. He led his brothers and sisters to Christ. So see what happens? There's a chain reaction. You thinking that's strange? Mm-hmm. You don't know who you're going to touch that's going to touch their whole family.
Right. Amen.
So you got work to do for the kingdom of God. You got some marching orders. Is that okay?
Amen.
All right. Well, God bless you, my dear.
God bless you.
Call us back. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. All right. That was Jayla from Alabama in New York. All right, 251-342, your name and where you're from.
Hi, this is Latrice.
Hey, Miss Latrice. All right, you know the deal. Let me put you on mute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Latrice. Give me one moment here. Okay. I need to keep track of the numbers because if not, let me look. Give me one moment. Give me one moment. Because if I don't, I'll be all over the place. Okay. All right. Miss Latrice, Sister Latrice. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Latrice, Father God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because there's some unpleasant things that you're going to have to do, but I see that you do it with much love, that you don't mind, because you do it as unto Jesus, unpleasant things, but you do it to others as unto Jesus. And I'm almost sensing that it has to do with service, serving others, but the love of God that he's put in you is allowing others to sense the love of Jesus, and they need it, and you know that you're doing it for Jesus. You know, what comes to my mind is the scripture that says that those things that we do unto others that we have done unto him. If we give a cup of water, we've given the Lord a cup of water. That we do, whatever we do it unto him. And you know that. You know that. And they're going to sense that. They're going to sense the love. They're going to sense that love in your hands. And I sense the healing power of Jesus Christ flowing through your hands. Their anointed hands. And I thank you, Lord. I pray that you increase more of the power of God. I pray that, Father God, that you touch her, Father God, that you allow her to flow as your vessel, Father God, even more, more than ever before, Father God. We thank you for Sister Latrice. We pray for her protection, that you protect her and you guide her, Father God, that you just continue using her mightily. But I pray for her protection, Father God, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, that you would put a hedge of protection, a wall of fire round about her, watching over her, Lord, stationing your angels round about her in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Let me see where Miss Latrice, Sister Latrice. Give me one moment. Are you there, Sister Latrice?
Yes.
How are
you?
What's going on? What's up? Have a testimony?
Nothing much. Same old, same old. In school.
No, not the same old, same old. That's not how it's going to be. Unfortunately, you're gonna be serving. Amen. If you're not already doing so.
Oh, yeah.
Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I am. I am. But that's about it with me. I do thank you.
Let me pray for you. You sound tired. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray for Sister Latrice that you infuse her with your energy, Father God, that you give her refreshment, that you refresh her, Father God, that all that studying, Father God, sometimes it just drains us, Father God, but I just pray that you re-energize her, Father God, that as she sleeps tonight, that she'll wake up revived, renewed, Father God, refreshed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right,
Sister. All right, Carmen, and you have a good evening, and I do thank you.
Well, thank you for calling. God bless you, and
all
I
right.
hope you have a Amen. All right.
Thanks.
Sister Latrice. All right, next caller, 903-253, your name and where you're from.
This is Carla from Texas. 90. Okay, Carla from Texas. All right, give me a minute. Thank you, Lord. My mouse is a little stalling here. All right. Carla from Texas. Thank you, Lord, for Carla. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I sense grace, 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 and more grace, grace, grace. You feel that you can't, but God says you can, and He gives you grace. His grace is sufficient for you. I know it's hard some days, but cry out to the Lord, and you'll see that He'll give you the grace that you need to make it through the day. And Lord, whatever she's going through, Lord, we just pray, Father God, for Carla, and for that you would just bless her, Father God, and bring encouragement into her life, Father God, the encouragement that she needs, and let her know and let her sense your presence with her. Grace, grace. He's going to give you the favor that you need. Amen. Amen. Grace. Grace. Amen. Oh, this mouse is stuck. All right. Hey, Carla, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. You?
Good, good. What's going on? What's gone on this week?
Oh, Sarah, things are going on. I know the Lord had talked to me and told me that I need to start looking for another job. And I'm also trying to, you know, find somewhere else to live. And, yeah, so.
All right. So you have to change
for, the... Yeah, in the direction.
He's going to give you
a church home.
A church home?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask you that you supply her needs, Father God, for a new job. Lord, she also needs a new place to live. Lord, we pray that you will help her find a place that will be economical and safe, and that there will be no problems with the apartment. Like some days, some of these apartments have so many bad things, especially mold. Lord, we just pray, Father God, that none of those things will be in these apartments, that it'll be a nice, cozy place where she can call home. And we pray, Father God, for a church home. I pray that you connect her with the right people, that she would have divine connections with good people, Father God, in the church that you want her to have and be part of as a family, Lord. And we just thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in Carla's life, Lord. We thank you for the favor that you're giving her, and that you're going to continue to give her, for her to find that job, for her to find that new apartment, for her to find that new church. In Jesus' name, amen. I know that it feels overwhelming, but just take one step at a time. And each step that you take, you pray. And you ask God's direction, but you keep moving. And as you keep walking, you just don't stay stuck, because you'll be stuck there next year. You keep moving. Okay? So if you need a new church home, then what do you have to do? You tell me.
Well, I think I'm just going to wait on God to guide and direct me to one, because I have visited several ones, but...
Well, you go out and you start going, and then as the Spirit leads you, you'll hear a sermon and you'll feel the people and you'll say, okay, Lord, is this where you want me to be? But you have to move. And if you want a job, then you have to get assistance with a good resume. Have somebody to help you to create a good resume. Look online. What other styles of resumes is out there. Remember, when you apply for a job, depending on your qualifications, there are certain formats to certain resume. And when you're going to apply for a job, you have to look at the wording of what that job description is. Once you have the job description, then you add with the things that you've done that are similar to that job description, because sometimes these resumes get picked up electronically because of the words that you put in your resume. And if they see the same wording that is in the body of that description of that job, it'll pick it up. Also, putting your resumes on Sunday before midnight gives you a chance to get resumes, because sometimes these companies will receive a certain amount of resume, and after a certain amount, it locks it, and no more can receive. You may not know it. You may have sent it, but it will never be received if you do it too late. So as soon as you see something, prepare your resume and send it in quickly. Because the early bird is the one that catches the worm. Amen?
Amen.
I know it's a lot of work, but you tailor your resume according to the job description. Get help with that. Speak to people that are offering maybe an agency to give you tips, or maybe talk to somebody that works in the place that you want to work. What do they do? Look at the reviews. Look at all that, and that'll help you narrow down where you really want to work and make a good resume. Amen?
Say
that again.
Oh, I thank God for when you said that mercy and favor.
Yes. He's giving you grace. Grace is unmerited favor. It's things that we don't deserve, but he gives it to us because he loves us. And so he's going to help you. He's not leaving you alone, but you have to also move and do your part. And then as you do your part, you're going to sense where he wants you to go. And you're going to go, this is not where I'm supposed to be. Because you sense it in your spirit. And you go, next, let's see where else. And the same thing for the apartments. You're going to have to go out there and search and look. And don't take the first thing because you just see it. You have to examine those apartments because sometimes they come with mold. And that can make you really sick. Look and see who's living around. Look at the reviews. What do they say about the apartment complex? Where are you going to move? The location. I mean, God can look. One time, as a military wife, I was living in a house, and we were pretty distant away from the military base. But my husband went into war, and so I was left alone with the kids. And so the owners were coming back from Germany, and they wanted their house back. But my husband did not sign the paperwork to renew the contract, so we had to move. So I had to move, and I was like, oh, my goodness, where are we going to move? And I told the sisters in the church, I said, I want to pay less than what I'm paying right now, because I feel that we got into that house, and it was too much. And we need something closer to the base, and we need something that we pay less and a safe place. And one of the sisters says, well, I don't know, but you're not going to find something like that. And I go, well, I'm praying to God, and God can do the impossible, right? She goes, yeah, okay. So she was she was the leader of the prayer group, mind you. But I was believing. And do you know, I found the house. The only thing that I needed to do was paint the house, and the owner gave me the paint to paint the house. I had a nice backyard for the dog. It was closer to home. It was a nice place, closer to the school that my children were going to. It was good. And I spent less money. And then when I went to move, the brothers and sisters of the church helped me to pack all my things and helped me to set everything in the new house. They helped me quickly to clean up the house. All I had to do was clean the floors, and I was good. And God came through. He heard my prayer. So He can do it for you. Nothing's impossible. Okay, Carla?
Okay. And David Wickerson, he was from Lindale, Texas.
Say that again?
David Wickerson, he was asking the young lady, did she know him, that he had ministered in New York? I said he lived in Lindale, Texas.
Oh, Glendale, Texas? Oh, okay.
Lindale.
Mm-hmm. Lindale. Okay. Yes, I knew he was a country preacher for somewhere in Texas. I didn't know where exactly, but that they made a movie. You have you ever seen that movie?
No.
Okay. Well, it's free online. You can the Cross and the Switchblade. And you can hear the testimonies. He was a simple person. He wasn't these flamboyant minister. He was a simple man. He gave the word. And
yes,
although he was
I used to give him literature.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he was a
he
great
was a simple
man.
Yes. Yes, he was. He didn't consider himself a prophet, but he was. He mentioned a lot of things that had happened, and he warned the church of the things that were coming and the things that they will be seeing in churches that were not of God. And so, but he wasn't like all these other ministers. You didn't see him in a lot of talk shows or anything like that. He was, you know, a simple country preacher. Amen. Well, Carla, is there anything else that we can pray for? We got your living arrangement, the new church, and your new job. A lot of new things, huh?
Yes.
Well, God's going to give you the grace. Don't worry. Favor. He's gonna, but remember, you got to move, and then as you move, the Holy Spirit will give you the discernment and the inner knowing that something is right or something is wrong, or not to take this or not to do that. But if you're not moving, how are you going to know where you're supposed to go or what you're supposed to take?
Amen.
Okay. So start looking,
yes.
Start preparing your resume, making it, and look at the different jobs, and then tailoring your resume to that. Okay. Look at the wording and add those wording of things that you've done. If you haven't done it, don't put it in, of course. But if you've done them, then you go, oh, okay, I've done this. So then you put that same wording, and that way the computer, the system will pick it up.
Amen.
All right, Carla.
Thank you.
Is there anything else?
Thank you so much. No, that'll be all tonight. Thank you.
All right. Well, call us and let us know how things are going, okay?
Okay.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. That was Carla from Texas. Another Texas girl. All right. 731-334, your name and where you're from. 731-334.
Hi, this is Ashley from Wisconsin.
Hello, Miss Ashley. All right, give me one moment. I'll put you on mute. Thank you, Lord, for Ashley, Father God. Well, I was thinking about you the other day, and I know God is going to do great things with you, Ashley. He's going to do great things with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a I just keep getting the same thing that I've gotten before about you ministering, being around other people. The Lord is going to use you in that. And there's some things that you're going to be learning, like I mentioned before. And I think this all will be like an add on this and the add on that. And all those things are going to shape you into something that God is going to use you greatly later on. So you need to pay attention. You need to pay attention to what God is allowing you to experience, the people that you're connecting with. And even at this young age that you are, God is going to use you. Don't think it's strange when God uses you. He uses whoever God, whoever allows themselves to be used. It's not how old you are. And sometimes when we're young, we think that, oh, no, that's not for me because I'm too young. It's who allows themselves. And you are allowing God to use you. So be ready. Be ready. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for Ashley, Father God. We just pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, for her protection. Keep her safe, Father God. Watch over her and continue to bless her. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, let me see what her number is because there's a lot of numbers here. Okay. All right. Ashley, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for your prayers. It's so encouraging.
What's going on this week?
Let's see what's new. I just got off work a couple hours ago, and I entered into a writing competition. I guess I was going to ask if you could pray for that. I asked LaShawn to pray for it when I called her last night, but I really love writing, and there's an opportunity for me to enter some of my writing into a competition, and I did. So if you could just pray for God to bless that. Not necessarily that I would, like, win the competition or anything, but just that his will would be done and he would just bless my writing.
Yes. Oh, Lord. We lift up Ashley and this competition, Lord. We pray, Father God, that you inspire her as she writes, Father God, that as she seeks your face, that she'll be so inspired that the pen will start flowing. Father God, that your Holy Spirit will give her word after word after word what to write, that she would have so much to write that she would have to decide what not to include. We thank you, Father God, for that, and that it will be inspirational. And, Lord, maybe this is the way that you're going to use her, Father God, through her writing. And I pray, Father God, that this open doors to other things too, Lord. We just pray for that in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for her life, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. And that's
amen.
Important, Ashley, to be a good writer, you know, to know how to express yourself and state what you're saying. And so do you pray in the Spirit?
Yes. Yes, I love praying in the Spirit.
Okay.
I have a
so
delivery
before,
job, so I'm in my car all the time at work, and I will be praying in my spirit from each delivery.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So your car is anointed. Oh.
Yes.
I had a little car that I would call it the car of faith because I did a lot of praying in it. You needed to pray a lot in order for it to move around because it was always getting stuck. For one reason or another, but I had a lot of miracles happen in that car. So, I mean, that's your prayer closet, your car.
Yes.
So anointed. That's your prayer closet, anointed as you go here and there. When you're praying in the Spirit, just like I had mentioned before, a friend of mine was led by the Spirit of God to pray in tongues, and he felt like he was warring in the tongues, and little did he know it was an ugly, vicious email was sent to him. And so the Lord, because of him praying in the Spirit, the words that he wrote in that email were perfect. He read it out to me, and I was like, wow, that was surely the Lord. So he's going to inspire you, too. As you pray in the Spirit, he's going to inspire you, and you're going to have so much. You're going to have to decide what to keep and what to take out. Amen.
It's awesome. Amen.
That happens to me when I'm praying and I'm trying to get something for a message or something. Sometimes there's moments where he gives me so much, and I'm like, whoa! I can't put all this on paper. I'm like, you know, what am I going to do here? So I'm talking to you out of experience. So don't be surprised. Amen.
Yep. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's exciting.
Yes, it is. I'm excited for you. Anything else you want to pray or testify about?
I know you probably have other callers. I'll just have one more prayer request for tonight, and if you could just say a short prayer. I feel like God wants me to step out and start praying for people, like over people that I meet. And I know, and I just want to have discernment and be able to hear him and to be able to obey him when it's time for me to like step out and pray for someone who maybe needs like a word of encouragement. And I don't want to like miss opportunities, and I want to use my discernment, you know. I just want to be able to hear him really clearly about that. But I really think he's calling me to step out and like pray for people, be an intercessor.
Well, sometimes people don't have to know that you're praying for them, and you can pray for them as an intercessor knowing that they have needs. But as they speak and they tell you things, what they're going through, you go, would you like me to put you in prayer? And then if they say yes, would you like me to pray for you now? And then they can hear you. You know, one thing leads to the other. But if you know their needs, go pray for them, regardless if they know or don't know that you're praying for them. But as if they share things with you, that's your opportunity. You go, oh, wow, you're going through all of that. Well, would you like me to pray for you, put you in my prayer list? If they say yes, then take it further. Would you like me to pray for you now? I can pray for you now. And then you just, you know, take the cue and go with it.
Yeah, but that's a good reminder to have. You know, like there's always ample opportunity to pray for someone, even in my own private time. I think I just get really excited in the moment, wanting to be able to share that with someone else if they're receptive to prayer, you know. But yeah, I really feel like he's calling me, whether it's on my like alone time or with someone else, if they're willing. He's really calling me to pray for people more, which I'm excited about.
And these people that you're talking about, are they believers or are they people that don't know God?
Some of them, like my family, like they're believers. I just feel like he wants me to pray more for them and more intentionally. And then others, I have no clue. I would say they probably don't have as like a super strong relationship with God. I mean, I can't assume things, but like some of my work people that I work with, I feel like he wanted me to pray for them before, but also just in a general sense. Like, I feel like he's going to be bringing people into my life in the future that he really wants me to pray for.
And you give them your testimonies of what God has done for you when you've asked for prayer, and show them, look, he did it for me. He can do it for you. Do you want to pray? And so when one puts 1,000 to flight, but two together put 10,000 to flight, that's a lot more when we come into agreement with other people. And so when you let them know, hey, there's more power where there's two or more gathered in his name, he's there in their midst and he hears and he sends, there's more power to send out angels to go and do and activate them. We got to put our angels to work. Amen. And so when you explain these things to them, they are more willing to want to pray. You want to pray? Okay, let's write the date down and let's see how long the Lord takes. And you know what? When you have a prayer journal and you write things down, and when things are answered, you're like, wow. And then you say, wow, this happened in such and such a day. This happened in this day. This happened in this day. And do you know what happens? It builds your faith even more to believe for more. And especially on those days that you're like, but when you start looking at that list of dates of answered prayer, wow, it does something to you. Even David in the Bible, he would recount the things that God would do for him, and that encouraged him. And so he would remember the things that God had done for him in the past, and if he did it in the past, he'll do it again. Right?
Right.
So when you're having your prayer time, maybe get a little journal intercessors do that a lot. They journal the date and for who it was, and then when the answer to prayer was. And that gives you a boost to your belief. You start believing more. You're like, wow, he did it for this person. Oh yeah, let's keep doing this. And wow, then you are, I believe God has given you great faith. That's why you're bubbling over with all of this. So have at it. Go forth.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Amen. I'm excited for you.
Thank you so much for your prayers tonight.
You're
I really
welcome,
appreciate
dear.
It.
I appreciate you all. And call us and let us know what's going on, all right? Well, God bless you.
Yes, I will. God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right, 251-229, your name and where you're from.
Hi, Carmen. This is Sarah from Alabama.
Hi, Sarah. Let me put you on the
phone. Hi.
All right. All right. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for Sarah. Thank you, Lord. I see wheels. I saw four wheels. I'm not sure what the wheels are. I don't know if you're moving, but I saw wheels, four wheels. I didn't see the car. I just saw the four wheels. So I think the Lord is showing me that there's something about the wheels. What do wheels do? They move. They get you to moving. So I just sense that the Lord wants you to continue praying for that. I don't know. I see an incomplete picture. So there's got something that has to do with that, with the wheels, with the moving along, moving in your life, moving in your walk. Things are moving. Amen. But it's an incomplete picture. So I'm not sure what it is that God and I'm sensing maybe I'm sensing that God is using you in ministry, and not just yet, but in a deeper way, a more profound way. Not that what you do now is not important, but there's something that he's getting you ready to do. So I see the wheels, and I believe the car is coming later on to get you moving. Amen. And I thank you, Lord. That was a strange word. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father, for Sarah. Bless her in Jesus' name. Hey, Sarah. Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
I'm here.
Sarah. Okay.
I'm here.
Are you in ministry, or are you getting ready to do ministry?
I don't know. I've been praying about doing ministry, and so that's what my prayer is all about.
Well, I think so. I saw the four wheels. I didn't see the car. I guess you have to be in agreement with God, say, yes, Lord, and it'll happen. So I think he wants to use you to do ministry. I'm not sure what kind of ministry, but there is a vehicle coming to those wheels. And usually when we see a vehicle or a bus or something that moves and gets us from one place to the other, that is ministry. That's all. I understood those wheels to be part of you doing ministry. Amen.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So what's up?
Well, I'm excited about, you know, that. I am so excited because I'm here with open arms, and whenever he says it's time to go, the wheels are turning, I want to move to it.
Yes. Just say, yes, Lord, yeah, I'm willing. And so when it's time, you just take off and start doing it. Be very sensitive to look and see what it is. It may be something already in place and you have not even realized that that's part of what he wants you to be part of.
Yes. Well, Sister Carmen, I tell you, I was listening to the Word of God when you first started out with the program, and it was dynamic. I mean, it was absolutely good as far as when the Lord wants you to move or when he says, do you want to, you know, be on the outside of the coin or do you want to be in with the Lord? So I really enjoyed it. I tell you, that was awesome.
You know, you have to believe. For you to be able to get your promises, you have to believe God, and you have to walk in his righteousness. You know, like the scripture says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So it's seeking him, his righteousness, and as you put him first, and you do what God says, then everything else will come in place. Then that promised land will come in place. But don't think that it's just going to come without a fight. Sometimes there is a fight. You have to move out the giants. But we can't have doubt. We can't be believing like many of those that went spying in the land. Talking like them, that's we can't talk like a lack of faith. We have to talk faith like Joshua and Caleb. And I don't know, the Lord has been, I've been trying to get away from this message, but he keeps bringing me back to that. And the message of the promised lands, for some reason, he's getting you all prepared. There's things that he wants us to do, but we have to get in line. We have to come into agreement. He just won't give it to us and put it in our laps if we're not in agreement with him, if we're not in agreement with his kingdom, if we're not in agreement following righteousness. We can't be doing our own thing and think that, oh, it's okay, God doesn't mind me doing this. No, it has to be according to how he wants things. Many people, you know, they lose their blessing because they're doing their own stuff. And they're doing things, they're handling their finances, they're handling their lives, they're handling their relationships the way they think. And that's why they're not getting anywhere. And that's why we are here on PGN. We want you guys to receive your promised land. And receiving your promised land is receiving God. He is your promised land. Once you receive him, then everything else will be added on. Then all these other things in the physical will be added. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And that's, we all have to learn that lesson, all of us, and remind ourselves, especially when we're going through. There's some days that you're like, ah! So we can't think that when we are facing our promised land, that the things that are there stronger than us for us to obtain that promised land. Okay, let's put it as an example, a job. All right. Your job is to have that good paying job, right? And you can't say, oh, but that's too hard. Oh, those people are rough. Oh, there's other people better than me. Oh, I can't do that. I can't get that job. Oh, you know, that grasshopper mentality. We can't do that. We have to say, yes, there's these benefits to this job. There, and once I can learn, I can be on my way to getting the milk and honey so that I can supply my needs because God is supplying it through this. But I believe and I trust God that God's going to help me. And so just like that friend of mine, that he has a good job, and God gave him that job, but there were some giants. And so he's facing those giants with God's strength, doing what God says. Do you see, are you seeing the similarities? I mean, there's different examples. We can go through, you know, maybe a mother that wants to have a baby. And she goes through different types of things that the doctor tells her to do in order for her to get pregnant. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that she can do, but the first thing that she needs to do is
believe in God. Trust God. Like this one sister, her name was Carmen, and she had 2 years. Her name was the same as mine. 2 years of trying to have a baby, and she was starting to get discouraged. And I go, girl, that's not a long time. And she was like, oh, but we want a baby so bad. And so I had had a miscarriage, and I had already 2 children, and I had a miscarriage. And that really saddened me. And so I was able to be empathetic with her. And so I started praying for her. I said, Lord, give Carmen a baby. You know she desires that baby so much. And so I went on in prayer, and I started praying in tongues. Well, I got into deep tongues praying for her. And I started to cry in tongues. And I felt like the Lord says she's going to have a baby. So I went to her and I told her, Carmen, you're going to have a baby. And so she looked at me like, oh, this lady's crazy. Yeah, she heard me. Well, like weeks went by and she got pregnant. And then I got pregnant too. And I said, wait a minute, God. I prayed for her, not that Carmen, not this Carmen, it was that Carmen. So God, I guess because I prayed with such, you know, empathy for her, and I knew that, you know, that I had lost a baby and all that. I don't know what I was praying in tongues, but I got pregnant. She had a little girl, and I had a little boy. That was my last child. And so that was funny. I always, you know, and I go, you see, I told you, God told me that you were going to get pregnant. She didn't believe
that
me.
That is awesome.
So, yeah, so you never know what you're praying in the spirit, because you're praying from your spirit to God. It's the perfect prayer. And so apparently I had a desire to have another child. And I already had 2. But because I understood her heart's desire, I had lost a baby, and I was like, oh, man, that was not good. And so, see? So I have faith to pray for those kinds of things. And so when you believe and trust God, God gives you your promised land, and he gives you promised lands for other people that haven't been able to get their promised land. So we pray for each other. And that's why I love intercessors, because they pray, they have faith to pray for other people. And look at the things that God is blessing our intercessors on PGN. Look at the things that God is blessing them with. So pray for others. It catches on. Amen.
Oh, amen. Amen. That's awesome.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. And that was my David, the one that I had, my son David. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So, we are special. People don't realize what it took for us to get here on Earth. I mean, our cells, our parents' eggs and sperm had to go through a lot just to create us. It could have been anybody else, but it turned out to be us. So God loved us. He knew he has a purpose and a plan. He knew we were going to be born. He knew we were going to beat all those odds. And we were going to be born. So, Sarah, you're created for something. God is going to use you to minister. Step out. Continue praying. I see the wheel. I see the wheel.
All right. I receive it. I receive that. Thank you, Jesus. I receive it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How's your daughter doing?
Well, that's what I was getting ready to pray for.
<All right. laughs>
Yeah, I was getting ready to bring her up. Well, she's doing all right. She's got her wheels turning. But I just am praying for Leah, for her to have strength in the Lord, and for her to have the salvation, you know, a closer walk with Jesus. I don't know, right now she's, you know, it's the summer and everything, right before she starts her fall semester, which I'm praying that everything goes good. So right now she's like, I'm enjoying it, you know.
Yeah, they do need that, because it's when you're in school, oh my goodness, it's like all you're thinking. You come home, it's like, what happened? I didn't move. I was just sitting. I'm listening to a professor, but it's draining, because you have to pay attention to everything, and it's mental work that you have to do, and writing down, and so it is taxing on the body. So yeah, let her enjoy it to get refreshed and be strong for when she goes back to school.
Yeah.
No, I remember how I would feel. I was like, oh my goodness, I want to give up, but I can't. And how many other people didn't I encourage right when they were ready to finish their semester and finish everything? They wanted to give up. And I'm like, no, you already went over the hump. Just keep on going. Oh, they're so burnt out. That's the word, burnt out. And so she needs refreshing. She needs that time to reboot, to have fun, to get in the sun and have fun.
Yes.
So,
And I'm praying for her to find a job that will work with her while she's in school. So those are the only two things.
Oh, supplement?
While she's in school, like a job that will work with her while she's in school.
Have her go to the college, the university. Sometimes they have, the counselors can give her lists of jobs that are available that work with the university. So she needs to find out with her counselors if they know where she can go and check that out. Or even in the summer stuff, summer hire, that'll work with you. Yeah, have her go and check that out. There's summer hires that just for the summer that allow you to work with them as students. So that opens up now. It should be already open. Or have her type in summer hire and see what she finds. But it would be good to check with the university, because sometimes they have things that sometimes the students don't even know about for summer hire that can work with the professors and things like that, or things that are attached to the university that, you know, they can get help, give help, or, you know, supplement. Or even through the university, they also have jobs where you can take classes, or not classes, you can take a job, and it's a work study, call it work study. Tell her to go to the university and talk, and ask about work study. That's what they call it.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. I'm glad you brought that up. That's awesome. I think that will work out. So that way she's not in and out trying to find, can you work with my, because you have some jobs that say okay, and some of them want you to work around them, especially during holiday time.
Yeah, but they have a program in the university that's a work study that they pay the student. Yeah, they pay the student. They have to work at the university, but they get paid. So I don't know how much they pay in all the different universities. That she would have to find out.
Okay.
Work study. That's what they call it. They may call it something different in her university. So have her check that out, because they do have those programs, especially in the summer. So
yeah, that is fun.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Leah. We ask you, Father God, to give her strength, to encourage her to seek more of you, Lord. I pray, Father God, that she would have a closer walk with you, Father God. We lift her up. These are the things that are on the heart of her mother, Father God. We pray, Father God, for that work-study supplement for her summer job, Lord, that she'll be able to find a perfect job that will help her to go to school and study and work and study at the same time, Father God. We just pray, Father God, that there'll be things available for her so that she will be able to find a job in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that. We ask you, Father God, for those open doors in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us know. Let us know what's
okay,
going on.
Okay, and once again.
How to continue praying. Amen.
Okay.
So,
amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
As always, thank you, Jesus.
All right.
All
God
right.
bless you.
God bless
all right,
you.
Sarah.
Thanks so much.
Is there anything
right,
else? Because I don't have any other callers. I mean, there are callers on the line, but they don't have the hands raised up.
As well as I'm right now, I'm living in a family home because
mm-hmm.
my mom passed away last August. So it'll be a year coming up. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
well, she will be gone.
Yeah, this it'll be a year in August.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Just something. August the 24th is when it will be a year.
Well, mine was
yeah.
later. I think it was the 29th or the 31st, something like that.
Mm. Well, you know, I miss her, and right now I'm staying in the we have a house, and it's a family house, and I was wondering if the Lord wants me to stay and just stay put, or does he want me to move right along, but I'm praying that just do the will of the Lord. Whatever he wants me to do, then I'll do it, you know.
Well,
if he wants me to down.
Why are you wanting to move?
Well, I really don't want to. My sister she's married and she's, you know, got her home. So it's best that I stay put rather than say, hey, you know, I'm out here and I'm doing this and that. But I'm glad the word of the Lord spoke through you that asking, why do you want to do this thing?
mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw wheels. So I don't know. Maybe that has to do with moving.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I think until the Lord says it's best for me to go, then I guess I'm going to sit down until the wheels come through.
Yeah, just continue praying about it. At the same time, if it's to move closer maybe to work and or closer to your daughter's university, then you know, it wouldn't hurt to go and look at apartments and see. They may be more expensive. They may be, maybe there be something that be perfect for you, but pray. And as you search for all those things, the Lord will give you that inner knowing, no, yes, no, yes. And you'll make mistakes when you don't know. And then you'll learn for the next time. And that's how you learn. That's how I made a lot of mistakes. But now I know how the Lord speaks to me. And I know that I can't move when I feel a certain way, and that he shows me either through his word or my inner man. It's like when I was wanting to move, I had gotten boxes, and I didn't have peace. I was like, man, what is wrong? What am I doing wrong? And then as soon as I got rid of all the boxes, I got peace back again, and I'm like, that's what it was. I wasn't supposed to move. I wasn't supposed to move. So sometimes you have to take a step forward and just move. And if it's not of the Lord will show you. No. And your peace won't be there because he won't be in it. But wherever God is, his peace will be there. Amen.
Amen. You know, I'm so happy that that the Lord is working through PGN and with PGN, because it's like the prayer team and prayer partners and prophets and everything are really being used by the Lord to be a blessing to others, so that when they're in the process of doing stuff, they kind of got the direction from the Lord to saying, they have the direction from the Lord actually saying, you know, don't do this right now. Seek the Lord first, and all these things will be added unto you.
We will always guide you to seeking God first. It's dangerous to follow other people's direction, you know, in the sense that whatever they say to do, you do, because then what if they steer you wrong? What if they're wrong? So that's why I always say, learn to follow God and learn to hear from him yourself, because that is the best way to know and grow with God. Not listening to all these voices around, because they can steer you wrong. You know, and God doesn't want you to depend on another. He wants you to depend on him. Amen. So that's why I give you my experiences, so that you see how I grew and knowing and learning how to walk with God on my own, making mistakes, but I know how to hear the Lord. I know when God is telling me, and not in everything. There's a lot of things that, you know, you're like, okay, Lord, what? But until you step out and you start moving here or there, that's when you're going to sense him, no, yes, because sometimes he'll speak in an audible voice, but that's not always the case. Not everybody hears God in an audible voice. It's through your inner man that he leads you, through his word, through different things, you know? But if you don't step out and you're stuck there doing nothing, you're going to be there next year doing nothing, because you're not moving. You're not doing anything. You're not being proactive to hear him. So, you know, okay, Lord, I need a job. Well, let me look for this one, this one, this one, and let me see what I'm sensing as I go, as I go to the interviews, as I go and do this, as I go and do that. He may allow you to be there for a season, because maybe he might use you to minister to somebody else, or let's say for a house. You may go to buy a house, and you might want this house, and it might not end up being that house. But because you moved and you were trying to hear the Lord, what if it was meeting that another person to lead you to your house? To the real house. You know what I'm saying? There's different ways that God does things. And sometimes, you know, what other people don't receive will be for you. Like it was like there was this one prophet that said that he went out to get a job. And when he got there, because the person that the job was intended for didn't come, they gave it to him. He was at the right place at the right time, and he wasn't there for that appointment, for that interview, but because he was at the right place at the right time, they gave it to him. You know, so this God works in mysterious ways. You can't put God in a box. You can't put God in a box. God don't work that way. You gotta say, Lord, I trust you. Okay, let's go. Let's see what you're trying to lead us. There's so many ways that he speaks. He's a good God. He wants good things for us. But that doesn't mean that there won't be battles on the way. They are. And it still doesn't mean that it's not, because it's not for you. You still have to fight it, because it's yours. The enemy wants to take that away from you. He doesn't want you to have what God wants for you.
Amen.
So he has the land that belongs to you. He has the land that belongs to you. Sometimes the enemy will use other people to take away what belongs to you, or create certain situations. But if you walk in fear, you're going to say, oh, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. God will make a way for you to get what's yours. God will make a way. But you believe it and you stand in prayer and you keep believing. You keep praying. Amen. Or for that child,
amen,
that baby, or for that job, or for that home, or for whatever it is. Look at Sister Sylvia. She says that, you know, the Lord had wanted her to go to school. And she's going, but there was some struggles there. But she knows that it was God. And she didn't have a computer. She didn't have a printer. And look, somebody sent her one. God opened the door. When God wants you to do something, he'll push you into it. There's sometimes that, no, you have to go into it. But sometimes God pushes you into it. And no matter if you like it or not, you're going to have to do some battle there. Because he's facing you with it. So you have to do it. He's calling you.
Yeah. And sometimes he wants to see, do you trust me? Is that faith?
Exactly.
There, do you
it's
trust
all about
me
trust.
To keep moving it and moving it on to the next level in him.
Yeah, and that's where our promised land is, in God. It's not in the things that we are obtaining. The baby, the family, the children, the job, it's not about that. It's about him. It's about him. He is our promised land. He's the one. He's the one that we need. He's the one that we need to trust. And when we do that, I mean, that scripture is so perfect. You know, the one that I mentioned before about seeking God, seek ye the kingdom of God first, right? And all his righteousness and all these other things shall be added on. It's all about that. It's about seeking him. It's in Matthew 6:33. And I love that because it's Matthew. That was the baby that I had miscarried. His name, I had named him Matthew. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He is your promised land. Seek him first. Seek his righteousness. Do things the way God wants you to do them. And then all these other things, those promised lands, will be added on. Those promised lands, it's all about him. He is your promised land. Without God, those add-ons won't happen. Those promised lands won't happen. I want more of God. Your daughter, you want more of God for her. That's more land, spiritual land. Amen?
Amen.
Spiritual land. And when God says that he's going to give you spiritual children and land, it's that he's giving you spiritual land, more wisdom, more of God, more of him, so that you can have more to give. And so we should never, he satisfies, but he also gives us that hunger, hunger and thirst after him. So, Lord, we just pray that you give all the callers, all those that are listening, a thirst, more thirst and more hunger for you so that they can continuously seek after you, seek you, because you are our promised land. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. We praise you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Anything
else
there?
No, that's it. It's like the Lord used you to cover it. And I'm thankful, you know, for you and the strong prayer life that the Lord has bestowed upon you, that you're sharing with others to be a light. And so many people go through tunnels and of darkness and may try to find their way. But then when you're being used by the Lord as his light and his mouthpiece, you're there to help and lead and guide the way. So that's a blessing. Being a blessing to others is being a blessing where the Lord wants you to go. I tell you, I'm excited, and I'm thankful for you on tonight. I really am. And I wanted to go ahead and just pray for you that your week may be blessed, and may you have health, life, and strength. to make it through the other week, and the PGN prayer partners and the PGN prayer line and team may be able to help others as long as the Lord says so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We pray for Prophet Randy. We ask you, Lord, to cover him and his family, that you give him wisdom, direction, and know where to take this ministry to, Lord. Open doors where they need to be open, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. And we thank you for each and every minister on PGN. Father God, bless them and their family, and give them all that they need, financially, spiritually, and mentally, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, Sarah, it's always a pleasure. It's always a blessing to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much, and may the Lord continue to bless you.
Amen, amen. All right. All right. Well, good night. All right.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Well, I'm going to play that song again. It's called Promised Land. And I'll end the show with that. Will you be blessed? And come back and join us next week, and come back on Monday too. And tomorrow, we have ministers tomorrow and Monday with Prophet Randy. God bless you. And here is Promised Land. He is our Promised Land.
Head down as I punch this clock. The hours roll, they never stop, and I can't ever seem to get ahead. Always trying to do what's right, straight and narrow's getting tight. Don't know how much longer I can stand. And I'm wondering, yeah, I'm wondering, where's my promised land? Out here on this desert road, it's hot as fire, but I've grown cold. Circling like a plane that never lands. And even though the questions change, the answers always stay the same. Maybe someday I will understand. So I'm wondering, got me wondering, where's my promised land? I'm wondering, where's my promised land? Well, I've run this earth for many years, but there's one thing I know. There's nowhere on this side of heaven the streets are made of gold. I've long laid down my grand illusions, looking toward the day that I'll be home. I won't give up on this race, broken but I still have faith, that this old life is all part of a plan. And I can feel it in my soul, one day I'll stand before the throne, with nothing left but hope in these two hands. Through all these